Hello and welcome to another episode of Tilted Pod. I'm your host, Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds, and I'm sitting here with the Daywalker himself.
What up?
Nate Morris.
How's it going?
How are you, the Daywalker?
I'm going, dude.
So now that it's like dark outside all the time, are you a lot happier?
Yeah, I can go outside and hang out. Like, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you're the Daywalker, so you could go anywhere, but.
Yeah, but it's nice to go out and explore every once in a while.
Right. It's awesome, man. I hate it, dude. I hate it. Like, yeah. Sometimes I like it when I want to be sad, but.
Just go out in the darkness.
Yeah.
Wander around. Yeah.
I miss some daylight when I'm trying to come home from work. Anyways, we're not here to talk about work and depression and real life things. We're here to talk about imagine world of great games.
Mm-hmm.
Fun worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Fun worlds. Yeah, we're talking about Magic, greatest game ever made.
Ever.
And we love playing it, and we love talking about it, and we're going to do that right now. Starting off with what we've been doing this week. Nate, what'd you do this week in Magic?
I played an FNM. It wasn't great. I didn't do well, but it was okay. I went 2-2. I lost to Scred Red. He had two Dragon Claws, games 2 and 3.
Dragon Claw, the 2-mana enchantment. Artifact, I'm sorry, that anytime somebody plays a red spell, they gain a life.
You got it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Lightning Bolt and plus another spell he played was gaining him 1 life overall. It was pretty awful. And then I lost to Jeskai Control. And I remember playing that deck a long time ago, playing against the local burn player, and it just felt unlosable at certain points, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see Jeskai Control being a rough matchup every once in a while.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, Lightning Helixes and just main deck life gain.
Yeah.
Plenty so of counters.
Creature removal. I mean, it's got it all for burn.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a good lock on burn.
Games 2 and 3, I always had ley lines, 3 of them in there. So, I mean, just if I hit one of those, it's pretty much, you know, counter the Destructive Reverie, and that's it.
Did that make you miss playing Jeskai Control?
It did, a whole lot.
So, as people on the podcast might know, I've always given Nate a hard time because he was the last person. He was the last samurai playing Jeskai Control. I mean, we all know this deck was bad not long ago, but yeah. As modern is... It moves in cycles. It's, Jeskai Control might be on top now. Control might be back. Maybe not even just Jeskai, but Control is back in modern.
I just don't know if I like the Spellcoiler version, Geistine Trap version.
Well, I still think you're wrong.
It's probably the better version.
It's 100% the better version.
Yeah, I can get on board.
That's ridiculous. I guess I can't say something in absolutes because we don't know. But I would say I do think it's far better. Maybe. Result wise,
yeah, and I can get behind the Spellquellers. I think that card's amazing. It's those Geist. I don't know.
Oh, I don't love Geist.
Yeah,
but you know, sometimes Geist just turns that turn 3 Geist just turns it on. You know, and you you get into that weird. You've cleared the board. You've kind of stabilized. You've dealt with all their things. Now you drop a Geist and you put a clock on them.
Oh, for sure.
I would prefer hitting when. Like getting in with a Geist or making them on the back foot every once in a while than just like only relying on my Celestial Colonnades to finish the game, you know?
Well, don't forget about Bolt Stamp Bolt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing, but I just think that Geist is really good. And if you're not going, or not Geist, Spellqueller is really good. Yeah. That's what I really think you should be playing. And if you're not playing a Spellqueller, then you should just play the blue-white total control,
right?
You know?
But I think Opt has really opened this up. I know we've talked about it.
I think Opt definitely helped out in this form. It's something I didn't think. There's two new cards that really, I think, helped Jeskai Control, and that's Opt, like you said. And what's the other one?
I think Gearhulk has also opened up a little bit of the control matchup.
Well, that one is not what I thought, but yeah.
Gives you a big threat.
What about Search for Azkanta? Have you played with it?
Yeah, I haven't played with it yet, but I really want to. I think it's really good.
It looks really good in that deck.
Yeah. I mean, you just cycle through, find what you need, keep going. Cycle through, find what you need, keep going.
I do think, though, that Opt, as inconspicuous as it is, and everybody thought it was going to go straight into Storm, and it did, but it seems really good in that control deck.
Yeah. I think right now I'm at the 3-3 split of 3 Opt, 3 Serum Visions. I think it's probably 4-2. I just need to get a fourth one. I think it's so good to have that option available and not have to fetch Shock into a Serum Visions turn 1. And just, you know, or anytime you draw Serum Visions, it just seems like you have to play it and you can't leave anything up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think the deck's really good. As I've played Control a few times back when it was Jeskai. I've only ever liked playing Control in Standard, but back when it was like Jeskai Flash or Blue White Flash in Standard, I tried playing it in Modern for a while. I've just never been a huge that type of Control fan in Modern. And I'm not going to lie, the deck right now, the way it looks, kind of makes me want to try it too.
Yeah. It looks really fun.
It looks like a fun deck. It looks like a deck that can really piss off your opponent, but you have so much interaction, and then you just turn the clock, you know?
Yeah.
You turn the tides, turn the clocks. So so you went 2-2 at FNM, right?
Yeah.
What'd you beat?
I beat, let's see, Counters Company. I beat Counters Company.
Lucky. No, and I'm just saying. No, that's probably a fine matchup for you.
It's about 50-50, I think. I mean, it never felt like it was totally lopsided.
Right.
I mean, at any time he can go off and win, and at any time I can draw the last burn spell and win.
That's true, but at least you have enough removal to kill his, you know, everything he has dies to one of your bolts.
That's true, yeah.
You know.
And then I beat a turns deck that I just think I have the major advantage over.
Right. You're just fast.
Yeah.
So I also played in this FNM, and it wasn't a huge FNM, but I had just finished humans. I played humans last week, but I didn't have four meddling mages. I only had two. I didn't have ancient cigarettes. Or is that how you say it? Ancient
mm-hmm.
cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the ancient cigarette. So I was playing mana confluence, and I was also playing a three mana confluence and like another Shockland.
Right.
I think the black Shockland, God of the Shrine. So this time I had like the full on, like Mullen Collins deck, Tom Collins deck. And I actually did worse this time. I lost round one to a deck I let my buddy borrow, Amulet Titan.
Mm.
Yeah, he beat me. I don't know how I lost to that. One Meddling Mage probably would have just locked that one in.
Yeah.
It was like a one lander. I'm not going to make excuses. I just didn't win.
Right.
And yeah, didn't get there. We did go to game three, but I just didn't get there.
Yeah.
And then I lost right after that to Counters Company.
Yeah.
And Counters Company, I think, is a bad matchup without interaction.
It has to be.
He went off turn three. He just had it in hand.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to freebooter him to take away like a company or to take away some, you know, his quarter calling, but he just had it in hand. So I just scooped as soon as I freebooted. I mean, it was pretty awesome. He won without even having to go to his next turn because it was just like, I know I'm dead.
Right.
So scoop, go to the next game. I end up just having that super aggressive, and it also came down to the die roll. Every game I lost, I was on the draw.
Yeah.
So game two, I'm on the play. I just smash him with one of those champion hands, you know? And I just happened to have enough interaction with my Fiend Hunter and stuff like that to keep him off of like combo.
Yeah.
And then game three, we actually had a good game where we were going back and forth. Never hit a meddling mage though. Never hit anything to like disrupt his final combo. And it was just back and forth. We were kind of had this weird stall, and it was like if I hit meddling mage first, or if he hits his, you know, combo piece first,
right.
And he hit it, you know, right before me, so he won. Good guy though, good player. Then I beat. Oh, then I had a bye, so I didn't even really beat anything. And then I beat some, I don't know, some weird deck, but nothing.
Well, such is life.
Yeah. You know, so I felt weird because like last time I played this deck, I went 3-1 with a suboptimal build. And then this time I was like basically 1-2,
with
the stock list. I do think that the change, we're going to talk actually about some of the changes because in the modern PTQ, there's a lot of humans showing up. And they're different. They've made some changes. There's some variations going on that I like. I appreciate those.
Mm-hmm.
But that's enough about what we did this week. We're going to talk a little bit now about the news. And the first thing in the news is
news.
Releases. News.
Releases.
It's news. The first thing in the news is news, damn
news.
It.
News.
God. Dad.
Bless.
Yeah. So, news, guys. You want to hear about releases? They keep giving us more shit. Normally, I wouldn't complain about that. But dude,
it's a lot.
It's too much.
Yeah,
right.
We're getting a lot. Christmas time came around. And I think they're just like, let's just push it all out.
Overwhelming. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to buy stuff for my family, but now I got stuff to buy for myself, and I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling real selfish.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I want Iconic Masters.
You know, for sure.
Who doesn't want that? That comes out this weekend, right? Mm-hmm.
That comes out this weekend.
What's the next thing that comes out, Nate?
The next thing that comes out, I believe, is a Unstable.
Unstable's the next one?
Unstable's the
what
next
about,
one.
What's that game?
The board game? The Explorers of
Yeah, when Ixalan? Does that come out? Because I'm interested in that bad boy.
That comes out November 24th. Now, let me say that it looks a lot like Settlers of Catan.
That's what I heard.
Which I'm cool with. I like Settlers of Catan.
Never been a big Catan guy.
Its price is $64.99.
You get actual Magic cards in it, though, right?
You do get actual Magic cards.
So, like, anything, like, nice coming in it? I've only heard of one card, Threads of Disloyalty.
Yeah, you get a Threads, and I believe that's all that you'll really want. So
that's, like, constructed playable.
Yeah. And so, and I think you have to play with the pre-constructed decks that they give you in the game. You know what I mean?
So you don't want to take them apart anyways.
You don't want to take them apart. And it's all the factions fighting each other, you know? And so I like that aspect too. Merfolk versus vampires versus dinosaurs versus...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like a four player, you fight other factions.
And do you play like it's Magic? That's what I wonder.
No, absolutely not.
But so you have cards, you just don't really...
Well, I mean, I guess you're still kind of playing Magic, but there's a board game involved.
It's really weird. I'm interested to see what's going on. I got a birthday coming up. Maybe we can do that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So then we've got the Unset.
Yeah, then we got the Unset, which looks super cool. So the basic lands, once again, they've outdone themselves. They'll probably rival the Unhinged lands, for sure.
I don't know.
I mean, just the fact they have no border. I think they look cool.
I think that the no border is really cool, and I want to play with them sometime. It's going to make my deck look real modern, real sleek and modern.
Yeah.
But I think the art's not as good.
I like the island real well.
Really? That's the one I think is...
Like the worst?
No.
Because the plains is awful, right?
See, to me, I think the plains is my favorite one. I love the plains. I can imagine playing like Death and Taxes in either format and just having so many of those on the board, and it's going to look so cool.
Ugh.
I think that the forest looks
good. We're so different. The mountain's awful, right?
I think the mountain and the island look the same. No, that's what I don't like either one of those that much.
Okay.
I like plains, swamp, and
forest. Yeah. See, and I like island, swamp, and forest. Just that plains is awful.
Oh, dude. You never been out on the plain, have you?
I've never been out in the farm country.
You
gotta
get out in them farm countries, dude. That looked just like them farm countries, dude. I'm telling you right now, that looked like them farm countries. So, all right, well, they're pre-ordering for like what? $1.50, $2?
Some of them have hit $3.50.
All right. How many of you ordered?
I haven't ordered any.
On our team account, I had 12 of each one ready to go, but then I didn't buy them.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little worried they're going to go up, but here's the thing. We don't know the prices right now until we see how popular the set is.
Yeah.
Say if the set fails, these things are going to be pretty expensive.
I bought 2 boxes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to be good.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll just take all your lands.
Well, that's unfortunate, but probably.
Yeah.
I get the foil ones.
I'll take the planes.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to draft with us, let me know. We're going to be drafting.
Hit us up on Twitter if you want to draft and you're anywhere in the Ohio area. We will make a meet point.
Yes, and we'll draft with you.
So, that's awesome. You bought 2 boxes. That's exciting for me. It comes out the day before my birthday, so we are definitely going to be a party draft.
Yeah, I bought... They have some pretty cool card art. I don't know if you've seen some of the ones that have been spoiled. The whole card has been filled with art, and you can set them alongside of each other to make a giant picture for some of these sets, like the League of Dastardly Doom and Goblin of Explosion and Agents of Sneak. So there's a couple cool like things that are going on there that I really like. So I kind of want to get one of those small binders and make like just a cool binder.
Yeah.
Of it.
So you do realize though the value in this set is for the fun.
Oh,
and there's
for sure.
No, I mean, there's really very little value. The foil lands may be kind of expensive, but it depends on how many people are going to be buying it. Here's the thing. So much stuff is coming out. I think this set's not going to do as well as it typically would. Yeah. I don't think there's very many spikes going out to buy this.
For sure.
Especially since you can pre-order the lands for pretty, cheap.
Yeah, $1.50 to $3.
It's not cheap. That's a lot for a basic land, but compared to $12 for an unglued island or isn't it unglued? The ones that are 12?
Unhinged.
Unhinged. The full art's not with a border.
The full art's not with the border?
Yeah.
Unhinged.
Unhinged, yeah. So the unhinged are like $12 a piece now for the islands, $10 for the everything else.
You're thinking of Unglued.
Unglued, yeah. So those are, I mean, compared to those, these are very cheap.
Yeah.
I hope that their foiling process is better in this set than the last one, so your lands don't get all warped.
That would be great. That's kind of why I want to play them, too. I really like the islands, you know.
Yeah.
I might try and get three foil islands right away.
What's kind of cool is you can throw them back together and you can do another draft. Like, you can save them in, like, your own draft box and kind of make a un-cube.
Yeah.
You know, and just play it and just have it as a fun game. But yeah, there's not a lot there value wise, probably outside of foil lands.
Yeah.
Okay. So then after that, we've got what coming out?
After that, we actually go into the next set of Ixalan. Rivals of Ixalan drops January 19th, 2018.
Wait, isn't there another one?
Iconic Masters into Unstable into, or Iconic Masters into the board game into Unstable into Rivals of Ixalan.
There's another thing. It's the From the Vault. That's it.
Oh, From the Vault.
From the Vault. Yeah, because I knew there was one other thing. Because once we get to the first of the year, I'm fine with that. But From the Vault comes out, Transform, right?
Which is super cool.
We know we've got new art for Delver.
We have new art for
Huntmaster.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Flip Jace.
We
got like all the flip ones, like all the flip Planeswalkers.
Yes, and I know a lot of people got super worried in the very beginning.
Oh, because they just showed Liliana.
Because it just showed Liliana.
But there's like Flip Nissa, Flip Jace, Flip... they're all of them, right? And Arlan Cord.
Yes, and so we got a lot of cool cards. There's a cool new art for Garrick Relentless, which I really dig.
I like that card, too.
Yeah, all of the angels are pretty much in it. All of the Planeswalkers, the Nissa, Lilianas, things like that, they all have kept their original art. So it is a little bit of
The only thing I'm missing here, I think, is Westvale Abbey.
Westvale Abbey would have been cool to see.
I think Westvale Abbey would have been sweet with different art. Because Ormondal, they could have made Ormondal super. I mean, I already like the art on Westvale Abbey, but just to see something cool. I thought that there was less new art than I like the new art, but there's not that much. Are you gonna buy me some of those Delvers too? There's so many things you have to buy me, Nate.
I know. It's crazy. The Delvers are super cool. I really like the Delvers. So you might get a Delver or two from me.
Yeah. I love the old Delver too, but these new Delvers, just because finally there's some new Delver I would love to have.
Yeah. What do you think of the
Huntmaster? Thanks for buying me so much.
Yeah. What do you think of the Huntmaster?
It's cool.
Male to female?
Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Arlan Cord, I kind of compared it to like Arlan, you know, like the two, because. Really, before Arlan Cord, you would think of a Huntmaster as the number one, like the alpha
flip card.
Well, the alpha werewolf.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's the most, like, I don't know, essential werewolf. If you were to think of, there was never really a werewolf lord, but that's the one. I guess there is a werewolf lord, but it's a human, right. And it's better as a human.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, I kind of think that now she's a she.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of more this, you know, Arlan Cord style. But yeah. It's never going to take away from the love of the old bearded raccoon hat wearing, you know, Huntmaster from back in the day.
See, that's my favorite.
I do love that card, but he's a red beard too, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So that's probably why you like it so much.
Yeah.
You're red-haired. All right, okay. So we got a bunch of stuff coming out. So save your money.
Ginger snap.
Because there's so much coming out, man. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to spend my money on. I mean, Iconic Masters look sweet too. We'll probably talk more about Iconic Masters after the weekend when we actually get our hands on it and see what it's like as a draft set.
We are going to get drafted, yeah.
Because I love, or definitely at least do some local sealed, because I love master set drafts usually. And this one is going to be awesome because everybody wants to open mana drain. So with that, it leads us into a little bit more news. But this is tournament result news, baby. You know why you come here. It's for tournament results. And we recorded last time during the Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't actually get the finished product. Now, I know this is old hat. This is old news. But we are just going to say a quick congratulations to Seth Manfield for taking the tournament down. Seth Manfield, one, he shares my name, so I like him. Two, he seems like a cool guy, I guess. Three, he's playing Sultai Energy, which is pretty cool. I think this deck looks cool. You know, everybody was so terrified, and we talked about this last week, that Teemer Energy, the four-color energy decks were just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the top four were pretty nice. I mean, there was only one energy deck, and it was Sultai Energy, which is, you know, I mean, what do you think about this deck?
I really like Salt Energy. It's probably my favorite of the energy decks.
I really like Hostage Shaker and Fatal Push. So, yes, I think this deck is cool. Four Blossoming Defenses.
Yeah, it's a must-have.
I mean, it's a sweet deck. Like, you want to remove one of my things? No. Long Tusk Cub on two, never going to die. Going to keep growing it. I think this deck is super cool.
Yeah.
I would definitely play this over the team. I've never really liked the Teamer Energy deck. I think this one looks fun. And entertaining, you know, Hostage Shaker just seems rad, dude. So that was cool. Congratulations, Seth Manfield, followed up in second place by White Blue Godfarer's Gift. Also a deck I really like. We talked about it a long time ago.
We were on this before a lot of people were.
Yeah. And so Pascal Maynard, of course he did it cause he's the man. Pascal, you know, Pascal's a dude who, he drafted that foil Tarmogoyf that didn't even go in his deck. And everybody hated on it for it in the Pro Tour. And at this point, though, I think everybody, like, just loves him. You know?
I mean, you know what he did with that Tarmogoyf, right?
Yeah, he ended up selling it and donating a lot of it to...
He auctioned off for charity,
yeah. Yeah, which is cool, but I think that's because of the outcry towards...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But I think it's awesome and good for him. And then we've got Samuel Ilhunfit. Sorry, I don't know how to say your name, but I do know this. First Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Mardu vehicles too. Yeah.
I mean, that's ballsy.
People were not packing their braids because they're ready for Teamer Energy and they got it to them. And then in fourth place, John Rolf. John, I like to call him John Rolfio. And he's playing some straight up Ramunap Red. This is like last Pro Tour.
Ramunap Red. Get after him.
So we're going to talk a lot more about Standard because we have the GP weekend, but we just wanted to bring that up. But we also have some unfortunate news from the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And that's some. DQs.
We have some DQs and we have something else to talk about too. Okay. So, did you watch the finals?
I did watch finals.
So, as we all know, Pascal Maynard missed a land drop. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Reddit and Twitch streamers blew up, started calling him everything but white for missing this land drop. Was it unfortunate? Yes. But do you think after, oh man, how many rounds of Pro Tour Magic that you could miss a land drop?
Oh, easily. Yeah. I also saw somebody else played an extra land during this tournament.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I did hear a lot about misplays during this tournament.
Yeah.
I heard that the whole tournament was riddled with misplays. Mm-hmm. Oh, like a lot of them. These tournaments are hard. They've got to be hard. And people are... I don't know, savages. Under a lot of pressure, but the internet rips them apart, but they're not sitting there doing it. You know, it's so much easier to call these things out when you're getting a bird's eye view, and you also have more information. Now, missing a land drop, that's rough. That sucks. You shouldn't do that. Hopefully, you know, but you made it second to a Pro Tour.
Right, and he also won the game in which he missed a land drop.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know...
It's still incorrect that he did it.
Yes.
But, so, I mean, you can't be result-oriented like that. But you have to say, people are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And he's the one they're fighting for that money. And if he's the one who got second, like, leave him alone. Just be like, hey, dude, did you see you missed that land drop? And then don't talk about it anymore because 8,000 other people are going to say that.
Yeah. Just because I don't miss land drops doesn't mean I'm a pro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, better than Pascal Maynard by any means.
And who hasn't missed a land drop?
For sure. I've also tried to play multiple lands. You just get lost in your turn and go land, and you're like, oh, you already played one.
It's very easy. Magic is a very complicated game.
Yeah.
And you have a lot on your mind, especially in a hot seat like that.
And so we have some worse things, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Worse?
We have worse than that. That was just the internet blowing up. Now we have actual DQs.
No one likes that.
No one likes DQs. One of these DQs I agree with, and one of them I don't agree with. So let's talk about it. We'll get some input. And then we'll discuss, you know, whether or not you agree with them also.
Okay.
So in round six is the first one. Huang Haoshan was...
No, I don't want to sound racist. That sounds too racist. I'm sorry, guys.
Listeners. Was disqualified from the tournament for intentional misrepresentation of the game state. And so here is the official statement from tournament head official. When Huang was in a disadvantaged position on the battlefield, after activating the ability for Long Tusk Cub, the indicator for the amount of energy the player had at resolution was not indicative of the cost that was supposed to be paid. Once this happened, it was brought to the attention of tournament officials. After this, they had a pretty thorough discussion with both players to determine whether or not the action was intentional. Because that's the real thing about disqualifications, right? Is it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
And so after the detailed investigation, they clarified that this was not just a simple mistake, but there is intention behind it. And to preserve the integrity of the tournament, the players disqualified. So let me give you a little more background of what actually happened, and then we can talk about whether or not you agree with it. So Huang was obviously at a disadvantage on the battlefield. He went to activate his Long Tusk Cub once. He adjusted the dice down from 7 to 5. After the resolution of that activated ability, he then activated again for a second time, readjusted his dice, and at the resolution of that, he still had 5 energy.
He just changed the numbers on the die, right? Because he had 2 die out.
Yes. And I think it went from like 3-2 to a 4 and a 1. And so he had represented that he represented by adjusting the dice that he was taking the 2 energy and acknowledging that he was spending the energy. Right. But then the dice represented the same number of energy he had, you know, as the turn before.
So to me, that does seem shady.
Yeah. Do you think it warrants a DQ?
In tournament Magic rules at that level, at that, you know, you're playing at the highest level you can be playing at. You're playing at the MUFFA Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. Okay, the MUFFA Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, and the fact that he actively changed his die and just rolled them around to look like he lowered them, but it's the same number. I feel like that seems real shady. And I'm not, this is no witch hunt, you know, or this, I'm not calling this guy out. He may have done it on accident, but it does seem like enough evidence for the head judge at that point to be like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with this DQ.
Yeah.
And that sucks for him too. And if it wasn't his fault, I'm by no means crucifying this guy. I'm just saying, you're playing at the Pro Tour. I mean, you got to realize that it does look bad.
So this is the one I agreed with too. And I have a little bit of a different reasoning. I think that if you've been playing an energy deck for a long amount of time and you've gotten to the Pro Tour playing this style of deck, that you have been, it's so ingrained into you the way that the cards work that you just don't mess up something as simple as that. And I've played Sun and Moon so many times that, every now and then I would play a tap land into Blood Moon, you know what I mean, or Temple, and try and scry. And then eventually, after playing so long, I was like, I just can't do that. You know what I mean? So I think it becomes just natural to do what you're doing. And so I think that's why I feel like it was a little bit of a misrepresentation.
Right.
So that's where I'm at with that one. So that was round 6. Let's go to round 15. This is the statement from the tournament head. Yao Zile and his opponent, LSV, reached the end of extra turns in a match that would have, if played to the end of that turn, result in an unintentional draw. Both players revealed their hands and discussed a possible outcome of who would have won based on the available information at the end of the game. At that point, this is where it gets bad. Yao mentioned that he needed a specific card to win, so he revealed the top cards of his deck to see if that would influence the decision of whether or not to concede to LSV. In tournament policy, a player can only use information that he has access to already through naturally playing the game of Magic to discuss possible outcomes of a match. So revealing your hand is okay.
Right, because you know that information. Both players could know that at the end of the game.
Yeah, but it was the flipping of the cards on top of his deck.
Because technically you could be like, this card, blah, 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 will always win you. You know, I mean, that kind of seems... They talk about this all the time at big tournaments.
Yeah. And so let's finish out. Yao, in arguing his case of the possibility to win, revealed cards at the top of his deck to discuss the outcome of a match. Because of this, the ruling was made that he used an improper method to determine the outcome of the match, the penalty result in disqualification of him from the tournament.
The reason I don't necessarily agree with this, though, is if they already signed the slip.
I think the signature happened after the flipping of the cards.
So my confusion on this is, did LSV called the judge on him?
No, he did not.
So in that case, like, what? I mean, it's over. They already drew.
Yes.
But I don't know. Some some neighbor opponent or something. Evidently, saw, you
somebody,
know,
a judge passing by, a neighbor opponent, someone, something. I believe LSV said he signed the slip for a draw and then walked away, and then was later approached by a judge asking about the situation.
So what do you think about this?
I think if LSV calls the judge, it is absolutely the right thing.
Right, but then people are going to be like, we don't like LSV anymore. That's rule, you know.
Right, well, that's a whole different argument. I'm just saying, if LSV feels like something is happening, it's his right to call the judge and get this a disqualification.
Right.
Okay. Because LSV signed the slip for draw and then walked away going, that was a fun match, you know, I feel like that's that I'm not with this one.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Again, though, it goes back to what I've been saying the whole time, which is, it's the Pro Tour, and yeah, you have to be very cautious. Every bit of play can be scrutinized. Everything you do, even after the game is over, is now scrutinized. I mean, and like I said just a second ago, they talk about this every time.
Yeah.
You know, before every tournament, they talk about you can only have this much information. There's no trying to, well, you concede because I had this, or, you know, I could have drawn this. I don't know. I'm not in love with this.
Right. I'm not in love with this one either. One more disqualification, then we can be done with DQs. This was at the end of round 15 at Grand Prix Providence. Oliver Tew and his opponent were disqualified for bribery.
Dude, I like Oliver Tew, actually, but he has been kind of, I feel like, beaten up a little bit lately in the public scene. I think he said some weird things on Twitter a couple months ago, and then got kind of like attacked for like making fun of new players or something. It seems like he keeps showing up all of a sudden.
Yeah. And so this one, oh man, you just feel bad. Him and his opponent, he wanted the pro point. His opponent had no need for the pro point. They had an agreement of prize split, because I think they're both going to, one of them was getting the prize, and he mentioned that he would PayPal him the rest of the amount after, so that the other player could go home.
Well, I mean, that's a clear case. I mean, that is clear case. Can't do that.
It's not even close.
How do you get caught, though? You know, it's just like, who tattletales?
This one was a judge passing by, heard the word PayPal, and immediately questioned both of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, when their stories didn't coincide with each other, automatic disqualification.
Oliver, I like you, buddy. I really do. I hate this for you. And I understand this probably happens in the Pro Tour community, especially. I mean, we know it does. We none of us are like topping all the tables.
Right.
But there's they're going home with a certain amount of money when you get to a certain point, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you got to do that stuff a little better, though. You got to hide it a little better. Mm-hmm. Don't just tell your opponent you're going to PayPal him.
I mean, there have been times where I've wanted to draw with an opponent or give them the win for various reasons. And I've always said, hey, how about we go smoke a cigarette? Or let's go outside and hang out for a minute. I've not once been like, you know, sitting in a match going, all right, this is what I think we should do. You know what I mean? Because that's how bad things happen.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, what you do with your opponent on the outside, you know, sure, but just be a little more secretive.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into tournament results after this. Wah, wah, wah. Yo, do you love cakes? Well, you should. But if you love cakes like me, there's only one place I go to get them. And that's Bitten by Lindsay. These are gourmet pastries and cakes to sink your teeth into. I'm talking chocolate. I'm talking yellow. I'm talking fancy as can fancy be. You want a side-by-side marble for your next party? Then go to Bitten by Lindsay today at Facebook or bittenbylindsay.weebly.com and have a good, sweet day. Woo! I love that.
Ooh. I love cake.
Ooh, I love cake. Actually, I don't even like cake, to be completely honest. I don't like cake. I like pie. Buzzkill. I'm a pie guy.
Well, I love cake. Lindsay, if you're listening, I would love a cake.
Yeah, but definitely check those out. All right, pass the ads. We're going to go into tournament results.
Tourneys.
Real tournament results. Okay, so this was the GP weekend. And you know, on the GP weekend of all standard, we're going to have to talk about standard. That's just what we're going to have to do. I'm sorry, that's not our normal thing. You know, we're modern. We're mostly modern, or at least, you know, other things. But screw it, doesn't matter. We got a Sander tournament coming up. We're going to play in the team tournament this weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit. Three GPs, Grand Prix Atlanta. Hot Atlanta. First place, Esper Approach by Alex Lloyd. He defeated Desert Red, piloted by Ben Stark. Then we got some follow-up. Four Color Energy, Mardu Vehicles, Ramanap Red, Teamer Energy. What do you think about that top eight, Nate?
It's a lot of energy.
That's a bunch of energy, buddy.
A lot of energy.
So there's basically, you know, half of it is energy.
Mm-hmm.
But Mardu Vehicles, again, getting in that four slot.
And I feel like Ben Stark has been everywhere in the top.
Ben Stark is the man.
Yeah, he's
also
crushing it.
What do you think about Desert Red? He goes, I don't need your fast red. I'm going to play a little more a powerhouse. I think he just really likes Chandra.
I mean, who doesn't like Chandra? Hazoret and Chandra just seems real fun.
But he's cut down. Like all the Ramanap Red decks are playing four Hazoret. He's playing one and then two in the sideboard. So he can really pump them up. But three main deck Chandras and one more in the sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
I like this deck a lot because he's like, I'm not going to leave out my boy Bomat Courier. I got to get that one haste or little card advantage in.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about card advantage, I'm going to play some treasure maps. What? Yeah, treasure map is in this deck. Tight, scry, then draw three cards after you're done. He's got three Abrades main deck, which I think are good right now. Sand Strangler. This is an uncommon from Hour of Devastation. You know, it's the 4-mana 3/3. If you control a desert when it comes into play or it ones in the graveyard, deal 3 damage to target creature. So it's cool. It's a little 3/3 removal, a little tempo play. Got to have that Rampaging Ferocidon. Very important card right now in Standard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some Kari Zev, some Soulscar Mages, and then 25 lands, but a lot of deserts. 6, 10, 12 deserts.
That's the namesake of the deck.
Yep. This is the deck that I want you to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think about this? We've been messing with Ramanap Red regular and then Big Red, as I'm Desert Red. What do you think?
I think that if I can't play dinosaurs, which are super fun,
no,
this is the deck. You know what I mean? Glorybringer might as well be a dinosaur in power level.
Oh, he's better than the dinosaurs.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Soulscar Mage is super fun. Hazoret's fun. I love Chandra, obviously, from playing Sun and Moon. So I think that this deck has a lot. I like the removal package. It's just, you know.
He's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. You got your straight burn to the face with the lightning strikes or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A braid. Because I don't want to waste my lightning strikes on your stupid creatures, dude. I'm just going to kill them with a braid or blow up your Heart of Kieran.
Yeah.
Two shocks, two magma sprays. I like all of it. You've got reach with your Sunscorched Desert and your Ramanap Ruins like normal. But then you also have your Dunes of the Dead. So you can sacrifice Dunes of the Dead, get a 2/2, and deal 2 damage to me. That seems like a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Scavenger Grounds really helps against those God Pharaoh Gifts decks.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of those token decks showing up online. I like this deck a lot. You know, I don't know. What do you think about that? But I guess let's talk about the first place deck because we also have this built and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, none of us are very big standard players. So playing a control deck in a format that you don't know that well, it's pretty hard.
It is pretty hard. It's toss up. You know what I mean? I feel more comfortable playing control. I feel like red's probably the better deck to play.
Yeah. So I also feel like you feel pretty comfortable playing Chandra.
I mean, Chandra is definitely, you know, pretty easy to play with.
Yeah. So, all right. So what do you think about this? Alex Lloyd's first place Esper Approach deck. And why did he add Esper? Just for Fatal Pushes? I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, yeah. Fatal Push is the card to splash for. Does it make...
It's the only main deck card.
Yeah, it's the only main deck card. The sideboard cards for it, Vraska's Contempt, I think can be very important right now.
Right.
And obviously the Scarab God. It's just a blowout.
Search for Azcanta is pretty important here. Mm-hmm. Four, Settle the Wreckage. Four. Problem with Settle the Wreckage is you can play around it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
they got to put you on it, and it makes them play awkwardly.
Yes.
The rest of the game.
It does make them play awkwardly, and we did some testing with this against Dinos, and I will say this deck does not do very well against Dinosaurs. Here's a big reason why. Fatal Push doesn't kill shiz when you're playing Dinosaurs. You know what it does kill, though? Most everything in Ramanap Red.
Yeah.
So you can play around it by attacking with your 4/4 dinosaur, your 7/6 carnage tyrant, blah, blah, blah. But we don't see that deck ever. So this deck could be a good deck to play against some of those small, you know, other decks. And in the control mirror, you've still got Censor and Disallow, Glimmer Genius. And then your sideboard, though, is what I like about this deck. Two more Torrential Gearhulks, four Regal Caracals, two Scarab Gods, and another search for Azcanta and a pull from tomorrow. So you can just kind of run that blue mirror out. And then obviously the win condition is the approach from the second sun.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty good win con.
What we got here else? Mardu Vehicles. Let's just get a brief look at Mardu Vehicles. This one's playing four main deck Glorybringers, and it's cutting the Hazorettes down to one. I also like this deck. I could also see you playing this deck. I think this deck is very good. Yeah, this deck is just tight. I don't know what else to say about it. It's tight. It feels reminiscent of the last Mardu Vehicles, and it's still good.
Three more Chandras.
Three more Chandras, dude. We love Chandras. Yeah, we actually could play this deck, except for Heart of Kieran.
Yeah, this is probably easy to get.
Yeah, probably pretty easy. Okay, we're talking about our stuff after that. All right, well, that was Grand Prix Atlanta. Congratulations to you guys at Grand Prix Atlanta. Let's go to Shanghai. Let's go over the border. Oh, yeah, it's farther than over the border. Let's go across the big blue. And guess what got first? Teemer Energy.
Oh, man, it's this... Top 8 makes my face hurt.
Does it? Okay, so we got first Song Hao Chao, Teemer Energy. Second, Ramunap Red, Weihino Tanaka. Yan Wing Chun, Ramunap Red. Grixis Thopters, a dope. Okada Nayu. Fifth place, Ramunap Red. Morofuji Takuma. I'm just like working on saying this. Teemer Energy by Yuya Watanabe. Yeah, we all know him. And then... Ramunap Red and Teemer Energy as well. Yeah, so a lot of red over in China. A lot of red in China. Ramunap Red. So this is the other option, right? Mm-hmm. Play Ramunap Red and just run people over, right? Yeah. You don't know the format that well. That's okay. Let's just play it and crash, you know? Mm-hmm. We're talking about insult to injury in your main deck. What do you think about that?
It seems real good. In case you people don't know what Insult to Injury is, it's one of those split cards, or aftermath cards, I should say. Instant side is 3-1 red, 2 generic damage can't be prevented this turn. And if a source would deal damage this turn, it deals double damage. That's gross. And then the aftermath side deals 2 damage to target creature and 2 damage to target player. Also gross.
You know, to be completely honest, I actually think Ramunap Red is still just better than Big Red.
Probably.
Just a better curve out deck.
Yeah.
But Big Red has, you know, it's got game against other things. Those Chandras are nice. But you can play a main deck Chandra and Ramunap Red. The deck I do want to talk about, though, is Okada Nayu's deck, which is Grixis Thopters. Mm. This deck is super sick. And there's been a couple of these decks popping around. Even Craig Wesco piloted 1-5-0 finish in a competitive league, and it's Inventor's Goggles deck, basically. So you play Inventor's Goggles, it's a +1/+2, but whenever an artificer, it's a equipment, whenever an artificer enters the battlefield, you can just attach Inventor's Goggles to it. Now you're playing stuff like Aether Swooper, Pia Nalar, Whirler Virtuoso, Maverick Thopterus, and the one Scarab God, I think it's the only black splash in the deck, and that's just to keep bringing them back.
Yeah.
You got Decoder Module, so you're just like bouncing creatures up and down from your hand. Some Aether Sphere Harvesters, some Sky Sovereigns. I love this deck. This is the deck I would want to play, personally. I mean, draw cards with Reverse Engineer, counter spells with Metallic Rebuke, Harness Lightning shit away, Magma Spray dudes, play a Chandra. I really like this deck.
Yeah.
It has so much synergy, so much coolness. He's got some cool stuff for black in the side, though. 4 Duresses and 1 Battle at the Bridge. Battle at the Bridge probably is real big in this deck. Because that improvise, I mean, you're going to have a lot of these little these things floating around. And Duress, who doesn't want to take all your opponent's cards from their hand?
Does seem fun.
Dude, I think this deck looks really sweet. We should try building this. Do we want to talk about any of these other... Do we want to talk about Teemer Energy? Not really.
Nah.
Do you?
Nah.
I mean, and they're mostly 4-color energy. They're playing Vraska and Scarab God.
Right.
Yeah, I'm bored with it. We're not talking about energy.
All right.
We all know those are good.
Yep.
Going yet again. Now, this time it's just across the border in Warsaw. First place, Teamer Energy. Second place, Teamer Energy. Third place, Salty Energy. Fourth place, Teamer Energy. Fifth place, thank you, Alexander Privilov with Mardu Vehicles. Sixth place, White Blue God Pharaoh Gift. Seventh place, Teamer Energy. And eighth place, Salty Pummeler. There we go. We got Pummeler deck in there, baby.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Pummeler deck for a second. One, I like that it's Salty. Two, I like that they're playing this thing Dive Down. One mana target creature you control gets +0/+3 and gains hexproof. Seems not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Blossoming Defense, of course, there's four. And then you've just got your, you know, your Pummeler stuff. Your Pummeler stuff.
They'll go out and win.
I like the one with the wind in the sideboard, too. Just give one of your creatures, you know, +4/+2/+2 and flying. just get over there. And then you got your Cartouche of Knowledges.
Yeah.
What do you think about this deck?
I think it's fun. It's probably super easy to disrupt. Once you go all in on something, they probably just kill it.
Probably, but we'll accept the fact that you have like six hexproof spells.
Oh, yeah. You just have to know when to go off.
Yeah. I mean, I think this deck looks really fun. You can kind of like chip in with Long Tusk Cubs, get your Pummeler out, and then maybe just kill him. Mm-hmm. And then Bristling Hydra, we all know, is super good. I mean, this is Infect. You know, this is essentially Infect. You just have to do a lot more damage. You see any other cool lists? I mean, the problem with these tournaments is they're all kind of like the same list. Do you see any cool lists that you want to talk about, like a blue-black mid-range or Jeskai Approach? Are you interested in any of those? Actually, yeah. You know what? I don't care. We're going to talk about blue-black mid-range. What do you think about that?
Blue-black mid-range.
Yeah. Blue-black mid-range in Shanghai. This was the 13th place deck. We got four Gifted Aetherborn. Think mm-hmm. that's a good card. Three Glint Sleeve Siphoner. That card's great. It's really great. It's really proven itself. Gonti, Lord of Luxury. Love that card. Two of them.
Yeah.
Three Champion of Wits. One Hostage Taker. Now, I probably would have bumped that up. Two Scarab Gods, because obviously it's blue-black. One Nauseous Gear Hulk, which I really like, and one Torrential Gear Hulk. Two Liliana Death Majesties. Really into that. Now you got your spells, baby. Four Fatal Pushes. Four Chart, of course. Two Essence Scatters. Two Walk the Plank. One Doomfall. And three Vraska's Contempt. I think if you want to play a deck with some removal, this deck's got it all.
Yeah,
it can kill anything.
Yeah.
25 lands, including a Field of Ruin to take you out of your stuff. You got some Essence extractions in the sideboard, a Lost Legacy, another Hostage Shaker. Demon of the Dark Schemes. I like this deck. Actually, I like this deck a lot.
Yeah.
What do you think about this deck?
I like it a lot, too.
This seems like a cool deck. It's got a little bit of everything. It's why not really control, but it's like, yeah, it's cool. I like
it. So why do you think it's having trouble? What's keeping it from being better?
I think that we know that these teamer decks are really, really good.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I think the deck is probably really good. I just think less people are playing it because I think, especially in standard, people are like, let's just play the best deck. You know, like, we can't hold on to anything for too long. Let's just play the best deck.
Right.
And I think there's just, honestly, way more people playing Teamer Energy than, you know, trying to branch out.
Mm-hmm.
If you look out in Atlanta, I mean, there's really very little any other decks, basically, than what you know. There's white-blue control in 25th. What do you think about that? But it's still an approach to the second Sunday.
It is. It is still an approach, you know?
This one, instead of, so like in the Esper version, you're running four Settle the Wreckage. This one, you're just running four Fumigates.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely think that would be better against the Dino deck. I think your Dino deck would have very little chance against this deck.
Yeah.
Essence Scatters in the main. Supreme Wills seem really good. Four cast outs.
Yeah, that all seems bad.
Yeah. You know, and you still got your crazy sideboard of Regal Caracals, Sunscourge Champions, but then Authority of the Consoles, so screw your Glorybringers, they're coming in tapped, and like Negate, I mean, this just seems like the better control deck.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know, though, you know? This seems like a pretty legit control deck, actually. Mm-hmm. Field of Ruins, take you off color. All right, well, that's about as much as we can dive into standard. I mean, which one? Well, let's talk to this. After talking about all those, which deck did you see that you would rather play over any of those if you could just pick any deck?
That's a hard
and
one.
And you're allowed to pick dinosaurs if you want to say that.
I don't think dinosaurs is good enough yet. I do really enjoy dinosaurs.
I do too. I mean it was cool watching you play.
It's a fun little thing. Probably Esper control. I don't know.
The Esper, even over the blue white control.
Maybe not over the blue white control, but
I feel like that blue white control looks more your style.
Yeah.
And looking at that, that looked like a better control deck.
Yeah. That, for sure.
This Esper control deck that we're trying to play, or Esper whatever, what's it called? Esper Approach to the Second Sun. It just, I don't know. It probably felt better. It would probably feel better if we hadn't only tested it against dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Where it seemed really bad. But against everything else, I bet it's very good. Yeah. Fatal Push seems really good. I think right now, two decks stand out to me. The Thopter deck. But probably the Thopter deck underneath the blue black midrange.
Yeah.
I think blue black midrange looks like a really fun in between of like control. And, you know, it looks like, I don't know, I like blue black. I always wanted to make a cool blue black midrange modern deck.
Right.
And I never was able to find one out. But let's get into modern, because that's what the people came for.
Modern.
So we're going to talk about one modern event. And that's the modern PTQ that happened. Okay. And after this, it's all, we're done. We're done. And then it's time to get testing, right, Nate? We're going to be testing. So this modern PTQ, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 8-0 lists. So there was a lot of people in this bad boy. Humans. Jund. This is, what's this called? Dredge. And Esper, which I like this Esper list right here. So we're just going to talk about the 8-0 list. We might bring up some of the other lists, but we're going to just talk, we're going to go in depth a little bit about these. The real Ulysses 8-0 with humans. Now he's playing a little bit different on the humans, right? We've all seen Collins Mullins humans. We've seen how they've changed it with two dismembers in the sideboard. This one said, nah, dude, I'm playing 21 lands. Get those crappy lands out of here. I'm playing 4 Cavern of Souls, but I'm not playing, I'm in Unclaimed Territories, but I'm not playing the Ancient Ziggurat because I got spells to play. And that's Collected Company and Path.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. Manus Rider still in there. Thalia down to 3. Thalia, Kitesail, Noble Hierarch, Champion of the Parish, and Avacyn's Pilgrim kind of picks up the slack. So this is closer to the build I was playing at Charlotte.
Yeah.
It basically is the build I was playing at Charlotte, except they get to add Freebooter and they're adding Manus Rider, which are both better than whatever I was playing. 21 lands, your sideboard. Now you get Rest in Peace, Stony Silence, Unify Will, which is probably sick in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
3 is it Sadcasters, 2 Campbells, and 2 more Tireless Trackers. I really like this deck. What do you think about this?
I hate this deck.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely hate this deck. What's the one card that I think right now makes humans just over the top?
Oh, Aether Vial.
I mean, besides Aether Vial.
I don't know.
Meddling Mage.
Okay. Yeah, but that's in that version of the deck.
Yeah, and I like that. I like Meddling Mage a lot right now.
Yeah, okay.
Cut Meddling Mage.
This is a much more aggressive.
Yeah, and I just don't like it as much.
But here's the thing. Path to Exile is your answer. Like, right? So in this deck, you get a path. You know, you don't have to Meddling Mage your problem. And then in your sideboard, you've got Unified Will, Stony Silence, and Rest in Peace to deal with all those super problematic things that Meddling Mage normally takes care of. But it's harder to deal with. I agree. In the version that is right now, Meddling Mage is so vital because there's no interaction.
Yeah.
In this version, you actually have interaction, so Meddling Mage, I don't think, is as important.
Go ahead and path that Grape Shot.
I mean, I agree. I understand that for sure, but Comble, if you have Comble out, go ahead and cast that.
I mean,
Grape Shot and die.
A little bit, but that's, you know, sideboard.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, I agree, but you still got your Thalia. I mean, I'm with you, but after playing the deck for a little bit, I kind of like having a little bit more interaction. That's personal.
That's fine.
Personal, but so.
No mares.
No mares. So here's the second one. Yeah. So this deck takes out, leaves the mares in, leaves the Meddling Mages in. I was like, how'd they fit all these cards in? 19 lands, they're playing Ancient Ziggurats. Cut down one Windswept Heath down to 2, playing dismembers in the sideboard. But what is noticeably missing in the main deck of this one?
All the spells. Aether Vial.
No Aether Vials. Yeah. So you, instead of Aether Vial, you're playing 4 Avacyn's Pilgrims. So this, I could kind of get behind too, except if somebody casts Blood Moon, and then you're just SOL. dead. Yeah. You are just so dead.
You have one planes.
You have one planes, and you have to hope that your noble hierarch and Avacyn Pilgrim live, and you could never cast that Manus Rider, and you just, I don't think, you're never casting Kitesail Freebooter. Like, this is all in.
Yeah.
To me, this is all in. No, I think that Aether Vial has been so good, but then at other times I'm like, I don't want to draw more Aether Vials. I'd rather just draw another human.
Let's look at the next list.
All right, so that was, there's two different versions. Now, Impy, also AO. These, mind you, all of these went 8-0.
Yeah, for sure.
This one is basically what I've been running. This is the classic 19 lands. They cut one land to add a Dark Confidant, and they're also running the fourth Reflector Mage over the second Thalia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is almost exactly what I've been running, except for I've been running two Dark Confidants, two Reflector Mages.
Yeah.
Sideboard, though, got Grafdigger's Cage, got the rest of their Confidants. They've got two Dismembers, a Fiend Hunter, a Mirren Crusader. But I mean, this is closer to the normal deck.
Yeah.
You like this one the most?
I like this one the most. Minus, four Reflector Mages seems real good in certain matchups and real bad in others.
Well, with humans being as big as it is it's probably pretty good.
Humans, yeah.
You know, Reflector Mage, your champion.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
So I
also like having two Thalia, though. When fetch lands have to come in tapped.
Yeah, I love Thalia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this list. This is closer to what I'm running, and I like it. Now let's talk about Jund. Guy has the best MTGO name I've ever seen. Brad Pitt Keeper. You, sir, win the Tilted Pod Name of the Week.
Boom! Whoa.
All right, this deck I love, and I texted my buddy right after I saw this deck go 8-0, and I was like, dude, why have you not been doing this? Goblin Rabble Master as your 3-drop, and this deck seems so good in a top deck war.
Yeah.
Like, I've killed all your things. This is an attrition game. Jund is all about attrition. Mm-hmm. You either top deck that Dark Confidant, and hopefully your life is high enough, or you top deck a Goblin Rabble Master, and now you got a crazy clock. You know, it seems so good. What do you think about this version?
So I like the creature package for sure. Four Darks, two Oozes, four Goyfs, and two Rabble Masters. Love it. Four Lilies, I think, is a must, even though they're outrageously expensive. The spells are interesting to me, so let's talk about it. Four Fatal Push seems real good.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems real good.
Yeah.
Four Inquisition seems normal.
Yeah.
And then three Thoughtseize seems like one too many. But maybe in today's world, that's where Jund wants to be.
They're being closer to like the Grixis. They're being closer to the Death Shadow decks in this.
And so two Lightning Bolt I like because I just feel like that damage is necessary.
It's nice to have a little bit of extra here and there.
Yeah. One Abrupt Decay seems a little short.
I like the one Abrupt Decay because they're running three Terminates.
They're playing three Terminates, two Culligan's Command. I think Culligan's Command is one of the most underplayed cards right now. And then one Maelstrom Pulse.
Yeah, I actually think this is great. It's either two Abrupt Decay, two Terminates, but I think Terminate just handles all the things you couldn't deal with any of your other cards, where Abrupt Decay doesn't.
Well, I was thinking two Thoughtseize, two Abrupt Decay.
Yeah, I could see that too. But Thoughtseize also just rips it early.
Yeah.
Two Scavenging News, four Tarmogoyf, four Dark Confidant, and four Goblin Rabble Master.
Yeah.
I love this deck.
Sideboard seems good. They moved that Liliana of the Last Hope to the sideboard.
Four Fulminators in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Like it a lot.
Two Brutalities, two Angers. Yeah. And I think Surgical is a really good card right now.
Yeah.
It deals with a lot of stuff.
I agree. So, John, Brad Pitkeeper, you're the man. Now, let's talk about this new version. This new version of Dredge. So, this dude, he's going to his first Pro Tour. I saw him tweet out about this. First Pro Tour after this. He is playing Dredge, Insolent Neonate, Blood Gas, Golgari Thug, Narcomoeba, Prize Amalgam, Stinky Dimp. We all know that. He's playing two Burning Inquiries, though. Like that. Like that, he's player draws three cards, then discards three cards at random. That can dredge you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's also playing one of Knot of the Bone in the main deck. I think that's hugely important.
Yeah.
And a Driven to Despair. Driven to Despair, if you don't know, is from Hour of Devastation. It is a Aftermath card. The first half, which you're probably not casting, is until the end of turn, creatures you control gain trample, and whenever these creatures deal combat damage to a player, draw a card, which could be really great in dredging. The despair part is creatures you control gain menace, And until end of turn, whenever they deal damage to a player, that opponent discards a card. Mm-hmm. So just wreck your hand right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is the thing I find interesting. He's just playing straight up multicolor lands.
Mm-hmm.
Like City of Brass, Copperline Gorge, your Dredge Lands, Gemstone Mines, Mana Confluence, Mountain. Like he is just like no fetches, no nothing. 18 lands, they're all making every mana color.
Yeah.
I think that's what changed it with this deck for me. Interesting fact, he took out, there's no Collector Brutality's main, there's no Dark Blast main, which have been very popular lately.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to play Dredge, I think this is a great streamlined version of Dredge. I think Burning Inquiry is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So 8-0, congratulations to MTG Mulligan. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the Esper deck. The other deck, HJ Kaiser. This is the deck that I really want your opinion on because we're talking about control being back. How about this one? 4 Snapcasters, 2 Tassigers. That's your creature package.
Mm-hmm.
3 Fatal Fush, 4 Opt. Mm-hmm. It's Opt, man. I'm telling you, Opt is making a big difference. 3 Path to Exile, 2 Spell Snare, which I'm normally not a fan of, but I think it's good right now. Thought Scour, 4 of them. 2 Collective Brutality, 3 Logic Knot. Think that's great, especially with Thought Scour. 2 Esper Charm, 4 Lingering Souls. Also makes Thought Scour better. 4 Cryptic Commands. What do you think?
I like it about 8.2 out of 10. I always think Esper has really struggled to put itself together. I think this deck also will struggle eventually. Opt has really made the control decks popular. I like Esper Charm, Logic Knot. I just bought a couple more of. Thought Scour is real good. I feel like this deck can kind of fold to Graveyard Hate a little bit.
And so
that's what's worrisome, you know. But when there's no graveyard, hey, I feel like this deck thrives on it. You know what I mean? Like, just
get it's interesting that there's no board wipes main deck, mm-hmm. but I think this deck is a straight up like Tassigar that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just this deck can go turn 2 Tassigar and then just control you out from there on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a weird deck. This mm-hmm. is a weird deck to me, but it went 8-0. I feel like it's good. It's hard to go at a modern PTQ on Magic Online 8-0.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So this deck was running on all cylinders, at least.
Yeah.
I think this would be a really fun deck to try out.
Yeah. I would want to try it out. I mean, it looks fun. I probably like Jeskai better.
Probably. I mean, you got Snap Bolt. You got some finishers. You got a little bit of... But this seems like... Whew,
yeah.
Fatal Push just seems really good to me. Like, it's better than Bolt in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
But the fact you got Fatal Push and Path, so good. But the fact that you could just drop a Tasker, kill everything in your path, and clock them really fast, like, it's got this weird tempo way of being a control deck.
Yeah.
And then Tasker late game is just value. Just keep giving me stuff back. So, I don't know. I really like this deck. But again, we're going to Baltimore. So we will, I'm playing lands. Nate's playing undecided yet. We're probably standard. Somewhere in red. He's playing standard. And then our buddy Aaron is playing
Scapeshift.
And I think we have a good shot. So we will see you there or we'll see you never. I don't know. When are we going to see you? What do you got? You got anything else to say to the peoples?
Tweet at us.
Tweet at us, boys. Tweet at us, boys and girls. We just moved to a new location. We just approached another person about doing some more videos. Mm-hmm. I've recorded 3 videos this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping more and bigger and better things are going to happen with Tilted Pod and Tilted Play Network on.
Yeah.
So we just need your support. We need your help. We're not asking for money. We just want you to tweet at us and be a part of the group.
Hang out
and,
with us.
Yeah. And we love you. And we'll see you later.
Ciao.
Peace.